The following is a Sunday feast lecture on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 4, text number 24, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on May 1st, 2011, in Kaunas, Lithuania.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 4, text number 24.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Brahmarpanang brahmahavir.
Brahmarpanam brahmahavir.
Brahmarpanam brahmahavir.
Brahmagnau brahmanahutam.
Brahmagnau brahmanahutam.
Brahmaiva tena gantavyam.
Brahmaiva tena gantavyam.
Brahmaiva tena gantavyam.
Brahma karma samadhina.
Brahma karma samadhina.
Brahma karma samadhina.
Brahma karma samadhina.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. A person who is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness is sure to attain the spiritual kingdom because of his full contribution to spiritual activities in which the consummation is absolute and that which is offered is of the same spiritual nature. Purport. How activities in Krishna consciousness can lead one ultimately to the spiritual goal is described here. There are various activities in Krishna consciousness, and all of them will be described in the following verses. But for the present, just the principle of Krishna consciousness is described. A conditioned soul entangled in material contamination is sure to act in the material atmosphere, and yet he has to get out of such an environment. The process by which the conditioned soul can get out of the material atmosphere is Krishna consciousness. For example, a person who is suffering from a disorder of the bowels due to overindulgence in milk products is cured by another milk product, namely curds. The materially absorbed conditioned soul can be cured by Krishna consciousness, as set forth here in the Gita. This process is generally known as yajna, or activities, sacrifices simply meant for the satisfaction of Vishnu or Krishna. The more the activities of the material world are performed in Krishna consciousness or for Vishnu only, the more the atmosphere becomes spiritualized by complete absorption. The word Brahma, Brahman, means spiritual. The Lord is spiritual, and the rays of his transcendental body are called Brahma Jyoti, his spiritual effulgence. Everything that exists is situated in that Brahma Jyoti, but when the Jyoti is covered by illusion, maya or sense gratification, it is called material. This material veil can be removed at once by Krishna consciousness. Thus, the offering for the sake of Krishna consciousness, the consuming agent of such an offering or contribution, the process of consumption, the contributor, and the result are all combined together. Brahman, the Absolute Truth. The Absolute Truth covered by Maya is called matter. Matter dovetailed with the cause of the Absolute Truth regains its spiritual quality. Krishna consciousness is the process of converting the illusory consciousness into Brahman, or the Supreme. When the mind is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, it is said to be in samadhi, or trance. Anything done in such transcendental consciousness is called yajna, or sacrifice for the Absolute. In that condition of spiritual consciousness, the contributor, the contribution, the consumption, the performer or leader of the performance, and the result or ultimate gain, everything becomes one in the absolute, the supreme Brahman. That is the method of Krishna consciousness.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakan Vitamscha.
So, a person who is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness is sure to attain the spiritual kingdom. Some people will say, why would anybody want to go to the spiritual kingdom? They would say there actually is no spiritual kingdom. This is some make-believe thing about a spiritual kingdom. This world is everything. There's nothing beyond this world. That's what the atheists say. So how do we know there is a spiritual kingdom? Do we have any proof? Or are we taking it on blind faith? How many of you have been to America? One. Krishna Chaitanya came in. So how do you know there's a place called America? Even because he went there.
Yeah.
But you have not personally seen. But you're taking the word of a person who has seen. So in the same way, even if we have not been to the spiritual world, we have taken the word of someone who has been in the spiritual world. Prabhupada has come from the spiritual world to tell us about that wonderful place where there is no birth, death, old age, and disease. Where all the speaking is singing, where all the walking is dancing. You can eat as many glob jamas as you want and not get sick. Or if you don't want to eat anything, you can fast and not get weak. So Prabhupada has come from that spiritual kingdom and he has told us about it. Now, if you were to ask Krishna Chaitanya, well, how did you arrange to go there? I'd like to go there too. Tell me how you got there. Well, I went on Sankirtan. I collected a lot of money to pay for the ticket. I got my Lithuanian passport and I applied for electronic travel authorization from the U.S. government. Everything came through, so I went. So in the same way, there's a method for going to the spiritual world. There's ticket, there's visa, everything is there. So what is the price of the ticket? Bhakti. You have to develop bhakti, faith, love and devotion for the Supreme. That is the price for the ticket that will get you on the airplane going back to the spiritual sky. And you also need the ETA. You need to have your travel authorization also. That is the mercy of the spiritual master, you see. You need to get your visa stamp. You need to get a diksha, you see.
Because Krishna says, unless you're the devotee of my devotee, you're not my devotee.
You
know that verse?
Adiparana.
Ye me bhakta jana prata, na me bhakta shtate janaha, mad bhakta nansha ye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. My dear son of Prita, the one who's my devotee, no me bhaktas, he's not my devotee. But the devotee of my devotee, he's got his visa to come back to my abode, you see. So you need that bhakti and you need that visa also. You have to come under the shelter and protection of the bona fide spiritual master. That will give you everything you need. So this is a very nice process. Now Krishna and Prabhupada are also talking about something else here. Someone may wonder, what's Prabhupada talking? What are Krishna and Prabhupada talking about here? One may wonder, Prabhupada is mentioning the spiritual consciousness in the last sentence, the second to the last sentence. The spiritual consciousness, the contributor, the contribution, the consumption, the performer of leader performance, and the result, everything becomes one in the absolute. What's Prabhupada talking about? See the second to the last sentence? In that condition of spiritual consciousness, the contributor, you see it? Read it out to the people. Second to the last sentence. In that condition of spiritual consciousness. The very last sentence is, that is the method of Krishna consciousness. Not before that. In that condition of spiritual consciousness. What is Krishna talking about and what is Prabhupada talking about here? One may wonder. So I'll give you a perfect example. The Sunday feast. The contributor. That's the first item mentioned. That means somebody who gave a donation to help pay for the feast. It means somebody who cut the vegetables. Somebody who actually did the cooking, you see. So that's one item. That's called the contributor. Next is the contribution. That's the boga itself, you see. That's the contribution. The consumption. Well, that's you all honoring the feast. The consumption, you see. The performer, leader of the sacrifice. That's the head cook who's in charge of the kitchen, see. And the result, or ultimate gain. That's the bliss everybody's going to feel after that feast. So they are all on the absolute platform. Everybody becomes spiritual. Everything is spiritual. The boga is spiritual. The lakshmi you give to buy the boga is spiritual. The vegetables, the ones who peel the potatoes, the peeler is spiritual. The cutting board is spiritual. The knives are spiritual. The sink is spiritual. The water is spiritual. The kitchen itself is spiritual. All the shells with the spices, they're all spiritual, you see. So everything and related with this Sunday feast, you see, whether it's the contribution, the contributor, those who honor the Vishadam, they also become spiritual after eating the Vishadam. So this is what Krishna is talking about here. He says here, in the verse itself, in which the consummation is absolute and that which is offered is of the same spiritual nature. In the
Krishna,
in which the consummation is absolute and that which is offered is of the same spiritual nature. So this refers to, you see it in the verse?
Tai,
the slok? So man, that means the eating, honoring the prasadam is on the absolute platform. Prasadam itself is on the absolute platform. And everything that goes into preparing it is also on the absolute platform. So this is the wonderful thing about Krishna consciousness. It not only applies to the Sunday feast, but you can make your whole life like a Sunday feast. You can turn your whole life into a big Sunday feast in which everything becomes absolute, you see, by offering everything to Krishna. Everything becomes spiritualized. You see, actually, it's not difficult. Because everything is already spiritual. Turn the light on for Prabhupada. It's right over there on the wall. Turn the Prabhupada light on. Yes. Jaya Srila Prabhupada. So, Prabhupada is spiritual. And the light which shines on Prabhupada, by engaging in Prabhupada's service, that light also regains its original spiritual nature. And the Kaunas powerhouse also becomes spiritual. Not so much, though, because they're charging money. You see. They get little benefit, but not so much. But those who render voluntary service to this movement of Prabhupada, you see, they become spiritualized. Those who come to the temple and sweep the floor, they become spiritualized. Those who give some donation to help cover the expenses of the temple, they become spiritualized. And the work they did at their job to earn that money, that also becomes spiritualized. And the energy it took, if you drove your car to get here, that car becomes spiritualized. If you rode your bicycle to come here, your bicycle becomes spiritualized. If you walked to come here, your legs become spiritualized. And your shoes also become spiritualized. So in this way, you can spiritualize your whole life, you see. Just like if you engage your wife in Krishna consciousness, then your wife becomes spiritualized. Or if you ladies engage your husband in Krishna consciousness, then your husband becomes spiritualized. And your kids become spiritualized. In this way, we can spiritualize the whole world. This was the desire of Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. He was not content simply to make this one universe Krishna conscious. He wanted that all the conditioned souls in all the material universes could become Krishna conscious. So we have inherited this mission from our spiritual forefather, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. Now we have Sankirtan going from town to town. Sometimes we go country to country, international Sankirtan. Sometimes we go to different continents, intercontinental Sankirtan. So now we are thinking of interplanetary Sankirtan, to other planets. And why stop there? Inter-universal Sankirtan, to other universes also. We want to see that this whole material world can become spiritualized. That all the living entities who are suffering in the pangs of birth, death, old age and disease, they can all become liberated. So this is our mission. And we're very happy that you have come to our temple today. Because by coming here,
You become spiritualized. And now our request is this. Stay spiritualized. Don't give it up. Chant Hare Krishna every day. And read Prabhupada's books. Try to follow what Prabhupada is saying in his books. And then your whole life will become spiritualized. Your house, your car, even your sabaka. You can give your sabaka some prasadam. He'll become Krishna's sabaka. So in this way, we want to spiritualize everyone. Everyone will become happy. That is our desire. So now I can ask if there's any questions.
First Lithuanian or English?
Huh?
First Lithuanian or English?
But your choice. As long as I have it in the end, it's all right.
I wanted to ask that it is said here that material things become spiritual when we engage for Krishna. So does it mean that, for example, this table becomes a living person? Because spiritual means living force.
Aš noriu paklausti, sakoma, kad kai užimam daiktus tarnystėje Krišnai, tai jie sudvasinami. Tai norėjau paklausti, pavyzdžiui, jeigu stalą užimam tarnystę, tai jis sudvasėja, ar jis tampa gyva būtybė?
He's wanting to know if the inanimate table becomes a living person when it's used for Krishna. Is it animate now or inanimate now that it's being used for Krishna? Actually, it is still inanimate. But it is spiritualized. It's spiritual energy. Of course, on another level, if you go really, really deep, 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 there's a living entity within every atom. So those living, there are millions and billions of personalities actually already in this table. And by engaging this table in Krishna's service, those living entities are becoming spiritualized. They are conditioned so. But they are being pushed now towards the human form, and so they can get out of this atomic level of existence and come to a human body. So if you go deep enough, there's nothing actually inanimate. But you can say relatively inanimate. Because animate means, in the general sense, it exhibits the life symptoms. Birth, growth, maintenance, giving off of byproducts, dwindling in death. So when was the last time you saw two tables get together and have some baby tables? So in that sense, it's inanimate, yes. But there are, in those atoms, there are living entities, and they are getting spiritualized by this table being used for Krishna. Next question.
If you don't put any endeavor, but you get an offering to
get what?
You
get what?
Offering.
Offering? You don't put any effort, you get what word?
You get invitation.
Invitation.
To go to some project.
To go to a project.
Yeah. So should I take it or should I not take it?
What kind of project?
Some TV project.
TV?
As example.
You get an invitation to go somewhere without seeking it, should you take it?
Yeah.
Well, it's like saying I'm standing in the corner and somebody gives me a coupon for a free hamburger. Will I take it?
Galima sakyti, aš sėdžiu, stoviu kažkur ir kažkas man duoda nemokamą hamburgerį, ar turiu priimti?
Now, if somebody gives me a free ticket to India, I'll definitely take it.
Kažkas man duoda nemokamą bilietą į Indiją, tai be abejo.
I get on that plane and go to Vrindavan, you better believe it, yeah. But somebody gives me a free ticket to go see the Eiffel Tower, I wouldn't be very interested. But I could use it go to visit London, to take darshan of London Parish, I mean Radha Parashishvar. So you have to see, you can accept anything that is favorable for Krishna consciousness. Because something comes of its own accord, that doesn't mean you should accept it. Lord Buddha was against meat eating. But the Buddhist monks now, they go out with their begging bowl, and now whatever comes in their begging bowl, they'll eat it because it came in their begging bowl.
Bet Budos vienuoliai dabar eina renka aukas ir jeigu jiems paukoja mėsą, jie valgo.
Even if it's meat.
Net jeigu tai yra mėsa.
But that's not prize, not right.
Bet tai nėra teisinga.
Just because something comes of its own accord does not mean you should accept it.
Jeigu kažkas atėjo, jums nereiškia, kad viską reikia priimti.
You have to see, is it favorable for your Krishna consciousness or not?
Reikia matyti, ar tai palankumo nuo Krishna sąmonį, ar ne?
It is, you must take it.
Jeigu taip, tai turi priimti.
And even if you have to get something by great endeavor, if it's favorable for Krishna consciousness, you should take it. It's like with great endeavor, Prabhupada got out of India to come to America with great endeavor. He had to see so many government officials. He had to see. He had to find a sponsor to pay for the ticket. There's so many things, struggles he went through to come to America. Next question.
Mes žinome, kad yra 8 milijonai 400 tūkstančių gyvybės rūšių. Ar atomai taip pat įeina į šį skaičių?
Aš kiek supratau, tai yra gyvos būtybės, sąmoningos.
Aš kaip supratau, mokės priminė, kad gyvos būtybės yra tuose atomuose, bet ne tie atomai.
Žodžiu, ką reikia padaryti, kad užsipelnyti tokie? Ar čia natūraliai visi praeina ir atomų kūnus gauna tokius, ar čia jau reikia ypatingai
tokius? There is 8,400,000 different bodies. So what we should do, what one should do to become living entity inside atoms, like here, everyone should become like this, or you should put some special endeavor.
How to become in the atom?
How one become?
Atom? How does one get down there?
Yeah.
I don't know. Prabhupada did confirm in one conversation, it's in the Veda base, that there are living entities in the atoms. Now, that wouldn't seem to be part of the 8,400,000 species. It's not really a living being in that sense. It's not that the atoms are part of the 8 million. It's an interesting question. And I don't really know the answer. Because the atoms are not part of the 8,400,000 species. But Prabhupada did confirm there are living entities down there. So it's a very interesting question. How to see that in terms of the relationship between a living entity in the atom and a living entity in the 8,400,000 species. It's an interesting question. Next question. I don't have the answer. Yeah.
how to understand duality and how to avoid influence of duality.
Yes, duality means happiness and distress, heat and cold, honor and dishonor, sickness and health, young age and old age, etc. That is duality. As long as you remain within this material energy, you cannot avoid duality. It is completely unavoidable in this material nature. If you want to come beyond duality, there's only one way to do that. You have to come purely to the spiritual platform. On the spiritual platform, there's no duality. You have to surrender to Krishna. If you will do that, you will attain the non-dual platform. But even in that non-state of non-duality, there is another type of duality. And that is that you and Krishna always remain separate. You are one with Him in purpose. But you maintain your individuality so that you can always have a loving exchange with Him. To simply merge into oneness is not very satisfying. It will free you from the material dualities. But there's nothing to do there. In a state of absolute oneness, it's a very boring condition to be in. There's no activities. There's nothing to think about. There's nothing to see. Nothing to hear. Nothing to taste. Nothing to do. Very, very boring position to be in absolute oneness. Therefore, the devotee leaves behind the world of material realities and he enters into the spiritual world and maintains his separate existence from the Lord. So he can have all kinds, just like in any personal relationship. There's all kinds of different things that happen in any personal relationship. So one maintains his distinctness in relationship with God so that he can have all unlimited varieties of interesting relationships with the Lord. That duality is exciting. That's called non-dual duality. Because you're perfectly one with God. In that sense, you're perfectly one with God. But at the same time, you're distinct from God. There's two philosophies. One philosophy is one and the same. The other philosophy is one and different. The people of the one of the same school, they avoid material duality. And the people in the one and different school also avoid material duality. The difference is the people in the one and the same school eventually fall back into material duality.
Bet skirtumas tarp pirmosios ir antrosios mokyklos pasiekėjų, kad antrosios mokyklos pasiekėjai, kurie sako, kad viskas yra viena ir turi skirtumus, jie negrįžta į materialų pasaulį.
But those in the one and different school, they eternally maintain that position beyond material duality. So we recommend, if you want to avoid the duality of this material existence, then you learn the pathway of the one and different school that we are teaching here.
Because this will enable you to permanently avoid material duality for all of eternity. Does that answer your question? Okay. Rukmini?
Nuperka nedidelį vėrinį ir tu pamanai, kad jisai tinka dievybėms. Bet kada tu atneši, tu pasižiūri, kad jau nebetinka. Bet tu jau priėmėjai, ką tada daryti.
If some friend buy me some nice necklace, very nice. And I thought, oh, this would be very nice for my deities. And I accepted it. But then I brought it to deities, I see that it's not good for my deities. So what should I do to this?
Take it back to the jewelry shop and exchange it. Do they have exchange policy in this country? Can you... In America, there's a 30-day return policy. You don't like something, within 30 days you can take it back and get a refund. Do they have that policy here? Not so much? No, they don't.
Sometimes. Yes.
Sometimes. Well, see if they there's a return policy on it and get the receipt and then go back and exchange it for something that's suitable for your deities. Or maybe if it's not suitable for your deities, it's suitable for these deities. Okay, any other questions?
Ir kada pradė, nu, tau patikta būsina, nu, aš galvoju, gal tai net ar susilygina, beveik, principė, su apie būsina. Ir tai gerai, ar tai ne kažkokie spasai išorinio aš vidiniam, mano vidiniam, nu, tai dvasiai mano vidiniai. Ar tai išorinė, kada man, taip, būsina patinka, gera. Nu, man tiesiog gerai, man nieko nereikia. Man taip gerai, kad labai gerai. Aš ir
nespasiu. Kai labai gerai jautiesi, ar tai reiškia, kad tu atsidėsi, ar nežiūrėsi?
Kada jūs pradėt gerai jausti?
Nu, tai, tarkim, dvi būsinos, jas yra vidinė ir išorinė. Mano, pat nebūsime, mano vidinas aš yra šarinis ir aš nežinau, prieš tai aš kankinausi, o paskui metu, nu, aš jaučiu, kad ar bajosis lygina, ar kaip tai aš nesuprantu, ir man gera pasidaro, ir aš galvoju, kartais mintis pramašu man, kad gal čia negerai, kad kovonu, arba spastai kokie, mano išarinio.
Jis pastaruoju metu jaučiatės gerai, viduje jaučiat ramybę.
Visų ramybė, taip, o išorė vis tiek būna, kad pajaučiu, nu, vidui gerai, ramu, ramybė. O išorė, nu, būna, kad išorė arba susilygina, nu,
šiaip aš ne... O nuo ko jums ta ramybė?
Nu, nu, ir tėvo, gerai.
Ačiū. I start to pray, and I feel peacefulness inside me, and I am afraid... If it's good or it's some trap of my ego.
It depends on how you're praying.
Priklauso, ko jūs meldžiatės.
If you're praying for pure love of God,
jeigu prašote Dievo tyros meilės jam,
and that's very good.
Tai yra gerai.
And if you're praying for material things, it's not going to give you permanent relief.
Bet jeigu prašote kažkokių tai materialių dalykų, tai neduos jums.
Praying is very good.
Meldžiatės yra gerai.
You should always be in a mood of prayer. It's not egotistic. If you beg God to engage you in His service. However, If you pray to God to do things for you, then your prayers are egotistic. And they won't give you lasting peace. So pray to God that He will engage you in His service, purely engage you in His service. Those prayers will give you perfect peace, and that peace will never go away. I mean, never. That peace will never go away from you. You'll always have it.
Tokia malda leisim būti visą laiką toje ramybėje.
Any other questions?
Dar klausimų?
Yes.
Girdėjau iš atsidavusio vieno, kad prasadas suveikia tuomet, kai prasadas, kai valgai jis su atitinkama sąmonė. Kitaip tariant, jeigu tu valgai tikrai savo alkį malšinti, tai jisai nesuveiks kaip prasadas. Tai noriu, kad tai pakomentuotų.
Aš girdėjau, kad jeigu mes valgome prasadą, efektas priklauso nuo to, su kokia sąmonė mes valgome. Jeigu valgom tik tam, kad pasotinti savo alkį, tai jis nesuveiks kaip prasadas. Ir jeigu valgome tinkamą nuotiką, tuomet gausime ir dvasinį efektą.
I heard that depends on our mood in taking prasadam, effects depends. If we eat prasadam only for get nourishment, then we get no result, but if we take prasadam with proper mood, we get spiritual result. Is it true?
Yes and no. You do get results proportionate to the amount of devotion with which you honor the Vishadam.
Jūs gausite rezultatą proporcingą tam, su kokia...
Everyone gets benefit from Vishadam.
Su kokia įdėsite atsidavimo valgdama tą prasadą.
Anyone who contacts Vishadam gets purified. Just by seeing Vishadam, they get purified. Just by thinking about Vishadam, they get purified. Vishadam is so powerful. But that result comes proportionately to how much you honor the Vishadam in the mood of bhakti.
But rezultatas yra proporcingas tam, kiek mes įdedame atsidavimo
į tai. In other words, that's why we say honor prasadam instead of eating prasadam.
Dėl to mes ir sakom gerbę prasadą, vietoj sakyti valgo prasadą.
If one just eats prasadam without honoring it, the benefit is not very great.
Jeigu žmogus tiesiog valgo prasadą negerbdamas jo, tai nauda ne tokia ir didelė.
He just thinks of gratifying his tongue. And now let me have 100 gulab jamuns.
You
see. And then he vomits because he ate so much. There's not so much benefit. Actually, Prabhupada says that if one takes overeats prasadam, it's not prasadam, it's bogots. So the fact is, we do have to take it in a devotional way. Vishadam is so powerful, even if you take it just for the pleasure of the tongue, you get purified. I will give you an example. Something I heard from Vishnu Jana Swami. He was very, very merciful. Vishnu Jana Swami was so kind. Devotee, you can believe it. He said, Srila Prabhupada, because many hippies were joining in those days. He said, what if all he wanted to do is take prasadam all day, nothing else? They want to join the temple and all they do is eat the whole day, nothing else, they just eat constantly. Is that okay, Prabhupada?
He asked him.
Prabhupada said, it is okay if they eat prasadam all day long, as long as they chant Hare Krishna between each bite. So Prabhupada was very kind. He gave us Krishna prasadam. In the early days of our movement, he used to have a jar of gulab jamuns there at 26 Second Avenue. And the policy was, if your mind ever gets agitated, you go take a gulab jamun. So in the beginning, Prabhupada encouraged them to eat
until they're lying on the floor, they, you know, completely just stuff themselves. And that way he attracted so many boys, the hippie boys. He would give them 20 chapatis. But then he said, now you should not eat so much, you should restrict your eating. He told them, after some time he changed the policy. And my godbrother Umapati, he said, Swamiji, you told us to eat as much as we want, and now you're telling us to restrict your eating. How you can do like this? You told us, now you're telling us to restrict the eating. Prabhupada's answer was, you didn't have any trouble following the first instruction. This is Prabhupada's kindness, that we can become purified. Even if we're just taking it completely out of lust, we can take prasadam and get purified. But you're meant now to, once you've done that, now come to a higher understanding. Prasadam is meant for being honored. You see. One is meant to take what is required to keep body and soul together. Not that every time it's prasadam time, now it's my time to become svinya. Prabhupada would take prasadam in a very meditative way. Just like one may meditate, you know, Hare Krishna, deeply meditating. Prabhupada would take prasadam in a very meditative, deep meditative mood. So, honoring prasadam is an act of worship. That prasadam prayer is called Pratsad Sevaya, means serving prasadam. It is an act of worship taking prasadam. Not just shoveling it down, you know. Any other questions?
You give to us so much prasadam by explaining about prasadam. Now maybe you can explain about akadashi, about fasting.
In the early days of ISKCON, Prabhupada is very kind. He introduced akadashi to us as a feast day. We would have a feast on akadashi. Non-grain feast, the big feast. The Akadashi means big feast, non-grain feast. That's how Prabhupada introduced Akadashi to the devotees. But then gradually we learned that actually, you know, as we became more purified, we learned that actually it's a day to reduce eating, not to have a big feast. The day to reduce the eating.
Bet kada mes palaipsniui apsivalgėme, supratome, kad akadašis yra diena, kada reiktų sumažinti valgymą.
Prabhupada told us in Dallas, actually the full meaning of akadasi.
Dallas ir šilo Prabhupada mums paaiškino tikrąją akadasi.
The full akadasi is no eating.
Tikras akadasis, jokio valgymo.
No drinking water.
Jokio gėrimo vandens.
No sleeping.
Jokio miego.
You stay up the whole night until the sunrise the next morning. That's the real meaning of akadasi. Every akadasi.
Visą naktį nemiegate iki pat ryto.
But he never told us we had to do that. His only order was no grains and no beans. That's all. Beyond that, Prabhupada never told we had to fast on Akadashi. Even on Nirjal Akadashi, Prabhupada did not introduce Nirjal to ISKCON. We did not do Nirjal when Prabhupada was here. Some devotees, very fired up devotees, pushed the Nirjal after Prabhupada left the planet. Prabhupada never insisted we had to do Nirjal. Never insisted. But if one wants to do it, it's very good. That is the proper akadasi. No eating, no drinking, no sleeping. Stay up a whole night chanting and reading. And then you can break fast at sunrise.
That's the real ecstasy. But that's, for most of us, that's too difficult. So just avoid grains and beans and you're okay. Yeah.
I heard that if you make some mistake and by mistake take some grains in Ekadashi, so by absorbing Nijala Ekadashi you give back this offense.
Yeah, that was Bhima's purpose of doing it, yeah. But you can actually, what you should do, the proper thing that Prabhupada told us is to make it up the next day. You used to, if you accidentally take grains in a kadasi, then the next day you observe a kadasi. That's the proper system. Not that you'd wait and you save up all your mistakes for nirjala every year. The very next day you must observe a kadasi. That's the system that Prabhupada introduced. So if you've done that, you don't have any mistakes to cover with your nirjala ekadasi. But nirjala is a transcendental adventure for those who are daring and bold. Nirjala ekadasi is a transcendental adventure for those who are daring and bold. Any other questions?
Yra sakoma, harimati, vienose, tenais minima, kad rupakotėmis sako, kad reikia ekadaši, aš tiksliai nepisinau, bet taip ir būtų pasakyti, kad mes turime ekadaši laikyti prieš ekadaši dieną nemavoti, paskui antrą dieną nemavoti, ir paskui vakarėti nemavoti, ar čia tai tiesa, ar kaip?
Kur parašyta? Harimati, vienose.
Haribhakti Vilas is written that we should not go to sleep day before ekadaši and day after Ekadashi.
If you were to follow everything in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, you go crazy.
I know.
Prabhupada gave us what we can handle, what's practical for us. Just take what Prabhupada has given and you do that perfectly. Just like getting up for Mangal Arati every day. These simple austerities we can't do. He's talking about sleep, going for without sleep for 3 days. He's not even coming for Mangal Arati. And keeping your face cleanly shaved. Do the basic things. First do the basic and then talk about doing the advanced things. Next question.
Norėjau paklausti, būna darbe, kad keletas krizinių dienų ar savaitė visa, kada tenka net sumažyti miego kiekį, šiaip įprasta. Ir kaip tada suvartoti savo ratus?
Kartais darbe būna labai intensyvų etapai, kada tenka sumažinti net miegą ir kaip susidoroti su savo ratais.
Sometimes my job is very intense, I even have to reduce my sleep. So how can I do my rounds in such days?
What are your hours?
O tai kiek ten tu darbo valandų jūs turite kartais?
Tom dienom tai, kad ir gali tekti 24 valandas.
Sometimes 24 hours.
Mm. How many days a week do you have to work 24 hours straight?
Kiek dienų per savaitę tokio būna darbo dienų?
Per metus 4 kartus.
Dienas per metus.
Nu daugiau. 4 kartai būna tom po 4 dienas.
16 times in a year.
Only 16 times. That's like 16 rounds. So what you do, you chanting 16 rounds every day normally? Well, first do that. Then once you got 16 established, then on those days when you absolutely cannot chant, then you just have to spread it out over the other days, you see. You make it up the following days. If it's only 16 times a year, that's not difficult to make up.
Pradžiai kartokit 16 ratų, o tom dienom, kai negalit kartot, su kartokit sekundą.
I will give you an insider secret.
Duosiu slaptą paslaptį.
First of all, make good use of the time you do have.
Pirma, gerai išnaudokite tą laiką, kurį turite.
Right now, even when you have facility, you're not chanting 16 rounds. So you will show Krishna that when you do give me the time, then I will chant my 16 rounds. Krishna is the ultimate controller behind your schedule. I can give you proof. I spent 14 years as a brahmachari, always going to Mangalarti in the ashram every day. And then Krishna arranged for me to take a wife. Vishnupriya Mataji. So they asked me, they said, now all the householders, they should do an ideal example and they should all get jobs and they should contribute money to the temple from their income every month. So, all the householders here should be giving some donation every month to the temple, by the way. Do not neglect this. This is your duty as householders. You must give monthly donation to the temple. Little or big, doesn't matter. Whatever you can afford, you give that every month to the temple. So anyway, now what am I going to do? The first job I got, my hours were from 11 at night till 8 in the morning. How am I going to go to Mangalarti? I go to work at 11, I get off at 8 in the morning. Because I had that strong desire, Krishna arranged it for me. So if your desire is strong, Krishna will arrange for you. How did he arrange for me? Well, my supervisor said, you know, nobody really likes to work the night shift. So if you want to take an extra long lunch break every day, we won't mind. So when was my lunch break? From 4 a.m. to 5 a.m. Or actually 5:15. So every day I would leave for my lunch, I would go and pick in the little car, drive over my little Toyota, I'd go pick up my Vishnupriya Mataji, take her to the temple, attend Mangalarti, and then go back to work. So what first seemed to be an impossible situation. Oh no, my Mangalarti is gone. Krishna immediately arranged. Because my desire was strong. He inspired the boss to give me a long lunch break every day. So you have to show Krishna your desire to chant 16 rounds every day is very strong. He's sitting in the heart of your supervisor. He can easily arrange for you. You have to do it from your side now. And show your strength of determination. And if you do that, Krishna will reciprocate with you. You can mark my words. Any other questions?
If I am asking God to take out my anger, it is egoistic or not? Because
that's very good. That's very good. What you do, sir? You have to have something in your heart. You can't have an empty heart. Here's how you should pray. My dear Lord, please take the anger out of my heart and fill my heart with love for you.
Brangus Dieve, paimk iš mano širdies pyktį ir vietoj jo padėk meilę tau.
Because if your heart is filled with love of Krishna, there won't be any room for anger.
Nes jeigu tavo širdis bus pripildyta meilės Dievo, tai nebus vietos pykčiui.
You see, if you fill the hotel of your heart with love, when anger comes to check in, to get a room at the hotel of your heart, there'll be a sign, no vacancy. Okay, so I think we can stop here. And we thank you all very much for your participation in this Krishna consciousness movement. Kindly take this process in a very serious way to awaken your original loving relationship with that Supreme Person who is the source of all existence. Lord Shri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'm myself and Vishnupriya Mataji, we are leaving tomorrow and go back to the U.S. and then Southern Europe. And we appreciate very much how nicely you've received us here in Lithuania. So kindly work together nicely to serve Prabhupada's mission. We will be coming back in October. My Vyas Puja will be celebrated here on October 22nd. So we're looking forward to coming back and being with you all again. Actually, we're not really leaving, it just appears that we're leaving. Because you're very dear to us. We are carrying Lithuania, you Lithuanian devotees, in our hearts wherever we go.
And
we hope that we are living in your hearts also.
In
that way we can always remain together. Even though it may appear that we are separated, we are always together by the mercy of Prabhupada. So thank you very much. Achilabai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Now we have a special announcement. Two more devotees have just been given shelter today. When you make a little pathway, Haribalananda, Krishna Chaitanya make way here. We have two Matajis coming forward. Milda and Monica.
To
come forward. You're getting sheltered. Okay, so now you can take these and read, offer your obeisances, reading from the sheet. Bow down and pray those. Say your pranam mantra. You can bow down, put your head down and hold it. You can read on the sheet with your head down. Hold your head down and read off the sheet.
Yeah.
I offer my
just the Sanskrit.
Namo Prabhupada Danuga Prema Murti Kriptamani Gaura Desha Vikash Atva Uttama Bhakti Darshini.
Jai. I hear that you worship. So now take this shelter very seriously. Chant your rounds with great devotion and follow our principles. And then if you can prove yourself by your devotion, you'll be accepted for initiation very soon.